What's up, everybody? Today we go into the heart of San Jose de Cabo in Cabo San Lucas area, Mexico.
Welcome to DustinsTravels.com, your home to fun, exciting travel adventures. And now your host, Dustin Saidi.
Hey everyone, Dustin here with my co-host, sidekick, partner, lover, and wife.
Hello, this is Karina.
And today we are going to talk about San Jose de Cabo. It's funny, we haven't done a podcast in years, but I had like one or two people kind of hit me up on Instagram, Dustin's Travels, and saying, hey, we listened to your podcast from Milos and had a couple questions. And I was like, oh, I forgot about that. Like, people actually listen to this thing. So I was like, you know what? Why don't we just keep doing podcasts? At least we might not be consistent with it, but if we go somewhere, kind of do like one episode, maybe two, on everything you need to know about that and our experience. So A, we can remember if we go back, but if a friend asks, I just say, hey, I don't remember, listen to this episode.
Yeah, for sure. It's really nice to hear from people. So keep reaching out for questions, contact us via email, on Instagram. It's nice to hear from you guys, and it definitely gives us inspiration to continue the podcast.
Absolutely. So we are going to talk about San Jose de Cabo. Now, many of you probably have heard of Cabo San Lucas. It's on the tip of Mexico, that, like, what do you call that tip on the west side?
Like the arm of Mexico.
Okay, that's a good one. For the arm of Mexico. So we are, like, at the fingertip on the arm of Mexico, Cabo San Lucas. A lot of cruises stop here. People will travel here. So I actually came down here for a business conference. And the first thing I learned when I got here is that Cabo San Lucas is different than San Jose de Cabo. It's actually an area 30 minutes away from Cabo San Lucas. So we're not actually going to be talking about main Cabo San Lucas. That's where the arch is, and that's more of a bustling party area. This is what we're talking about. San Jose de Cabo is a little bit off the map. Not a lot of people know about it. It's 30 minutes south of Cabo San Lucas. And,
actually,
you know, it's a really great...
west, I guess.
Well, yeah. Okay, 30 minutes away. East, south, like further along the fingertip. Yeah. If Cabo is the pointer, this is the middle finger.
That's a good way to put it.
And so we're going to talk about that, maybe why you should visit here, what to do, how to get around, things like that. So the first thing to talk about really was, this is like the quiet version of Cabo San Lucas. So you can still kind of get a lot of the Cabo San Lucas attractions, but without the party-ish. So if you're not in your 20s or, you know, maybe early 30s, you're kind of in your later 30s, maybe you don't want to necessarily do the whole big old party scene, but you still want something kind of fun to do and also bustling, San Jose de Cabo is the place.
Exactly. And apparently this whole area is called Los Cabos because there's multiple Cabo areas, I guess. And actually, San Jose del Cabo, like if you're flying to Cabo San Lucas, you're going to be flying into the airport that is just 10-15 minutes away from San Jose del Cabo.
Yeah, it's actually closer to the airport than Cabo San Lucas, which this is my first time flying into this airport because I usually have come here on cruise ships.
Yeah, exactly. So let's get started. What do we have to recommend for San Jose del Cabo?
Okay, so first of all, let's just talk about getting around. So it's a small kind of area-ish area, and you can get around by walking if you want, but also Ubers are plentiful here. No Lyft, but they have Ubers. You can also get taxis. We got around in Ubers for like $5-$10 just kind of moving around.
Yeah, and one thing you should know if you're flying into the airport here, Ubers cannot come pick you up at the airport, but they can drop you off. And if you're flying and you want to get around, you know, once you leave the airport, you can do a cab or you can do a shuttle. And that's what we did. We did the shuttle and it's half the price. It's like $14 per person versus a cab. It's about $50. So that's something to know right off the bat.
Yeah, and make sure, of course, whenever you come to Mexico, you got everybody trying to hustle you a little bit as you come out and buy the timeshares and the tours and stuff. So just kind of walk past that initial line, and you should get to the people who are the taxis. And we got it for about $14-$15 per person on a nice group shuttle. Got us to Cabo in about 30 minutes. So San Jose de Cabo is 30 minutes from the airport.
Right. And then something else to know is that, I forgot what I was going to say.
Okay, well, cool thing about it's a podcast, so it's a little informal. We'll come back. All right, so then there's sort of like two, at least what we found, two, maybe three.
I remembered. Some people recommended to do a car rental if you're going to be driving around the area. So, for example, if you're staying in San Jose del Cabo, but you want to go to Cabo San Lucas or you want to go to the different areas, some people do recommend getting a car rental because it's going to end up being the same as, you know, multiple Ubers.
Yes, very good. And so we found there's probably like three places to stay-ish in this area. One is kind of by the beach, which is where we stayed. We got an Airbnb by the beach. The second place to stay is in the central area, which is downtown, which interestingly enough is not by the beach. It's about 10 minutes north of the beach, kind of towards the airport. And then the third place is, and this is really cool, we didn't experience it fully, but there's these sort of local farms, like very large farm areas. One's called Acre Farms, the other one's called Fiona Farms. And they have these large areas where they will make their local food there and you can eat there, but you can also stay there. So for example, in Acre Farms, we saw people staying in tree houses.
Right.
And that looked amazing. I think if we came back, we would do one of that.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, so we stayed in the zona hotelera, the hotel zone, which is where everybody goes. But these tree houses, like if you're into doing like something off the, you know, beaten path, you're adventurous, this is a really cool option. It's not that pricey, but just consider that the food there is pretty pricey. And then, you know, it's, they probably have activities to do there, but not as much as if you were staying in the hotel zone.
Yeah, so we actually, you can eat there too. They have restaurants, so if you don't want to stay there, you can eat there. So we ate at Acre Farms, and the food was just ridiculously expensive, like $80 for fish or something.
Yeah, and the drinks too. The cocktails were like $25, which is ridiculous. Like, even for American tourists, it was expensive.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I don't know about...
Yeah, the food was good. It wasn't like out of this world, but it was good. And I don't know if it was worth the price to be... I probably wouldn't go back for the food to price ratio.
Exactly. Yeah, we definitely had more delicious food in other locations that were much more accessible.
Yeah, and cheaper. Okay, so that's kind of like a general layout. So where to stay in San Jose de Cabo? We stayed at Airbnb. It was about $150 or so per night. One bedroom, it was pretty hot because we're here in the summer. They did have AC, but it was still pretty hot. You could stay at some hotels. They're very expensive, though. So Vedanta, Viceroy, Barcelo. They were going for about $500 a night-ish, you know, plus or minus. Depends on when you book it. So yeah, Airbnb, you could stay there. Now, that's by the beach. The secondary is El Centro. El Centro, we visited, but it seemed like it'd be a cool place to stay too, because that seems to be sort of the cultural center.
Right,
we stayed
exactly
in the hotel zone on the beach, which is more like the tourist center. El Centro is probably going to be cheaper, and it's a little more cultural.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we didn't really know about El Centro, but that's something I always to consider when you're traveling. Like, there's at least in this, you know, Latino kind of like settings in Mexico, there's always going to be like a downtown centro area where they have the main square, the plaza. We didn't think about looking into the hotels there or like the Airbnbs. But then again, we were there for a conference and we wanted to be walking distance to our conference. So that's something to consider, right? Like what events you have going on, like you want to be walking distance to a certain location. But in a different context, I think it would have been super fun to stay in El Centro of San Jose del Cabo.
Yes. So those are the three main areas. Generally speaking, price-wise, it is pricey here. Like we told you about Acre Farms, that was not the only place that's pricey. We also ate at Viceroy, which is very expensive as well. Now, you do have some local restaurants, which are reasonable. They're not crazy. They're not your normal, like, Mexico prices like you might find in, like, you know, the bazaars of Mexico City, so to speak. They're probably, like, American prices, regular prices. But, like, we got a massage for 90 minutes, and it was about $90 a person. You see in the U.S., you don't see that in Mexico very often.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, it's important to consider that most of the tourism here is not, like, local. You know, Mexicans are not coming here for vacation, right? It's mostly Americans, probably Canadians coming in for vacation, of course, like, very rich Mexicans. So all the prices, everywhere you go, it's pretty expensive, right? It's American, like, type of... expense. And I guess on the flip side, the convenient thing is that they do accept USD. So they take dollars, but they're probably going to give you a little less of the conversion rate, but still pretty convenient if you, you know, forget to bring pesos or you whatever.
Yeah, and I think they just, some people throw numbers at you. Like one person said it's 18 for a dollar. Next person said it's 15. So I think they just, if they try to check your savviness and get a little couple of extra bucks out of you.
Yeah, and it's also based on the location. Like if it's a very touristy area, they're going to give you a less convenient exchange rate.
Yes. All right, so let's talk about three places we recommend to eat. One in the hotel zone was called Latino Ocho. Mm-hmm. That was our favorite place. We did eat at several places, but this was by far our favorite.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The food was just so delicious. The cocktails were also really good and not, like, super ridiculously expensive. We went there twice for the lunch menu, which is kind of like buffet style. You can, it's all you can eat for a set price. And then we also went for dinner. And both times we were just amazed by, like, the quality, the freshness, the taste.
Yeah, you might think with all you can eat, it would be kind of like not that good, because I've never actually seen all you can eat in Mexico, but it was really good. So I definitely recommend Latino Ocho. It's again in the hotel zone. The second place in the hotel zone also, which was pretty good, I wouldn't say amazing, but it's pretty good, was Santo Pulpo. And that's basically a seafood place they had there. Good customer service, pretty good food.
Yeah, for sure. If I had to choose between the two, I would definitely choose Latino Ocho, but you know, a lot of these foods also, like, consider they're sort of similar in terms of, like, there's a lot of seafood, right? And it just really comes down to, like, the flavors and the prices. So I thought that Santo Pulpo was good. Same vicinity, but not my favorite, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then there is in the Viceroy restaurant, they have a place called Nido. And it's, so you should, if you go in the area, you should definitely walk in the hotels at least going to Viceroy and some other ones, because they're just beautiful. They have these like massive water areas and pools and buildings with that are floating in pools essentially. So Viceroy has this restaurant called Nido, and we went and ate there one night. The food was really, really good.
Yeah.
Also very expensive. We spent close to, I think we spent $175 for the two of us, but the food was really good.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of these like high-end hotel resorts obviously have very good restaurants. I think one of them, I think it was one of the one that also, oh, Vidanta, that's the one, yeah. The high-end hotel that also has Javier's restaurant, and you can find that in the U.S. as well. So we didn't really want to go try a restaurant that we've tried in the U.S. before.
Yeah.
But yeah, all these high-end hotels have very delicious, good food, but obviously very pricey. But this food was really, really good and unique too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
it was like a fusion of like Mexican, Japanese type of menu.
Now, if we're going out of the hotel zone, going to the downtown area, the El Centro, lots of good restaurants there. And one we went to was called La Lupita. And La Lupita was really good, mainly tacos, but they also served like a bone marrow with the tacos and had like prime rib tacos. It was like really good.
Yeah, and if you are vegetarian, pescatarian like myself, they have plenty of delicious options. They were so good. So this is your place for tacos and also mezcal. So mezcal is one of the typical traditional Mexican drinks, alcoholic drinks, and it was really, really good. We did mezcal tasting, mezcal flight, and I mean, probably my favorite experience, dining experience in San Jose.
Yeah, and honestly, there's a ton of these types of restaurants in El Centro, so you don't have to go to that one, but all of them like looked really good. Do you remember the names that our Airbnb host gave us? And if you come in, you get an Airbnb, just ask your host, and especially if they live there, they'll have a few recommendations as well. Do you remember them off the top of your head?
There's another one that they recommended, Baja Brewing Company and Jasmine or Jasmine's restaurant. But honestly, I think any restaurant in the El Centro area is probably really, really delicious. But obviously, we were there for limited time. So that's, you know, what we were able to try. There's another one that a friend recommended. Let me pull out the name for that. It's called Lumbre. And the name of the chef is Cesar. So that's another great location recommended by a local.
Okay. So And then the final kind of area that to eat is, again, the farms. There seem to be multiple farms in this area. So again, Acre Farms, which we said was pretty good, but like probably overpriced. There was another place called Fiona Farms, F-I-O-N-A, which we did not go to, but it looked really, really delicious, and we probably would go there next time we were here. So those are kind of the places to eat. Now, let's talk about also, quickly, when to visit. We're here in July, and it is scorching hot during the day. We really can't do anything till like 6 p.m. because it's just way too hot.
Yeah, totally agree with you. We were here mostly for like business, I guess, for this conference. But if we had come here as tourists just to sightsee, I would have been a little bit disappointed because it's almost like unbearably hot. Like we took a 5-10 minute walk and we were drenched within seconds. Like it's really, really bad in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, so we recommend you do not come here in the summertime. They said like usually there's a 3-month period ish that's like really hot, so you know, probably your summer months, June, July, August, but after that I think it would be fine and nice to come here.
Yeah, totally. And another thing also making it really bad in terms of the heat is because there's been like a couple storms coming in that have not hit Cabo area, but are like nearby, and it's enough to make it very humid. So the humidity also makes it really, really bad.
Now, other than everything we've said in terms of, let's talk about what to do. Honestly, the stuff we saw to do was kind of your normal touristy stuff, like ride a horse on the beach.
Right.
They do have like a turtle sanctuary near here you can go. Actually, someone in our business seminar woke up at 5 a.m. and they saw the sunrise, and a turtle came at sunrise and laid eggs like in the sand right in front of them, and then went back in the water. And then some guy in a motorcycle came by a few minutes later, picked up the eggs, and I think took it to the turtle sanctuary. And apparently you can actually like help free the turtles or like put them in the water or something like that.
Yeah, any time that you could do unique stuff like that, that is like more in touch with nature, I think it's super beautiful. But of course they also have like the typical other, you know, kinds of like touristy stuff, including like sunset cruises. You can also go to Cabo San Lucas and do more touristy stuff there, like go to see the Arcos, which we did in the cruise, so we didn't feel compelled to go see it again. But you can definitely do all those things. Though there's something important to note, that not all the beaches in this area are swimmable, right? You cannot go swimming in many of these areas. It's very risky, and you'll see the red flags all over the place. So that's something to note.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because you can't, like if you want to go swim in the beach and all that, you can't really. I mean, I guess you could, but if the red flags were up, and we looked at the waves and they're pretty nasty.
Yeah.
And plus it's too hot, and there's a long walk to the shoreline. So it was, you know, we decided not to do that. Okay, one final thing, something you got to do on Thursday nights. They have, I think this is all Thursday nights, right?
Yeah.
They have like an art exhibit, mm-hmm. kind of farmer's market-y, but more art walk in the central area. And it's just bustling. It's a bustling, bustling place, and it's a lot of fun. So if you're going to go to El Centro, try to go on Thursday night, because it was a ton of fun.
Yeah, that's for sure. Our Airbnb host told us about it, and I also had a friend tell me, and it was so fun. They had a live band, just these young kids performing really, really good. Lots of tourists, lots of locals, all these like setup of, you know, people selling their art. It was super cool to experience that. And that was Thursday night. We went again Friday night, and it was maybe 10% of what we saw in terms of like the energy and the bustling.
The restaurants aspect were of it. Still like bustling, but right. Nothing else was.
Exactly. So that's definitely something that you want to see. They have all these beautiful art galleries that you could just go and check it out. So it's really awesome to experience that. And I mean, any place that you visit, always try to see if they have like local farmers market, art gallery nights, you know, those kinds of things, because all the people come out, not just tourists, but also the locals. So, you know, you get a nice mix of people.
All right. And finally, last secret hidden place that we really liked was this juice place in El Centro area. Do you remember the name of it?
Yeah, let me.
While she's looking that up, this place had. They had like little ice cream bars, but also local fresh juices like passion fruit, lime, pineapple. So you go in there and they just had buckets of these juices, and they pour you just a nice big bucket of juice for like $3. And I've never had passion fruit
juice. En el centro?
Yeah.
Oh, it's I don't know the name of it, but it's right in front of the, like, the plaza area.
Yeah, so if you're at the plaza, there you'll see a big sign that says San Jose del Cabo. Kind of like you see in all of Mexico, they have these big signs of, like, what the name of the city. So if you're standing at that sign, put your back to the words. So you're facing the plaza. Then put your right hand out at probably a 45 to 60 degree angle and point. Then walk there. You're going to see like a line of small little shops. And then probably in the middle-ish, there is it's a small little hole in the wall, which is usually the best kind of stuff. And you walk in there and it's a lady and a guy, and they're serving juices and also little ice cream bars. So that's the place. That's your, like, hidden gem. Yeah. And usually there'll probably be a little bit of a line outside.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, if I remember correctly, there's kind of like a mural outside. Mm. You know, like, I think it was a whale, maybe. But yeah, it's very local and super cheap. And yeah, that's how we knew it was going to be a good spot, because of the line outside. Yeah,
a line outside of a hole in wall is always a good spot when traveling.
Paleteria La Tropical. I think that's the name of it.
That's not the touristy one, right?
No. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. La Tropical Ice Cream Shop, or Paleteria La Tropical. And they have, like, painting of fruits in a little river or something on the outside. La Paleteria. Paleteria La Tropical.
Exactly. And then, FYI, paleteria means, like, popsicle store. Because yeah, paletas are the popsicles.
Yeah. Anything else?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
All right, so make sure you subscribe to our channel. Follow us, by the way, at our Instagram and our TikTok and our YouTube. That's where we post all of our photos and our videos. Dustin's Travels, plural on both. DustinsTravels. Dustin's Travels on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And you will see our videos, pictures, photos of San Jose del Cabo and all of our other travels.
Yes, and please, we said at the beginning, send us your questions, your comments. We get really excited to receive your messages.
Yeah, DM me on Instagram. That's the best place. All right, thanks so much for listening. Talk to you guys later.